Birgitta Winter, it is so good to have you back again on Liberate Your Authentic Self, this time for our special edition of Ask the Author for Time to Rise. Congratulations on being in this book.
Thank you, and thank you for having me. And oh, I just can't thank you enough for putting this book together. I feel it's so important.
It is so important, especially right now, as people are really hungry for guidance in our lives, as everything is kind of like exploding around us, right? Like the earth, the economy, the politics, our homes. But before we dive into Time to Rise, this is not your first book. So I'd love it if you just bring us up to date on who you are as an author and a self-publisher.
Yes. So I usually write to children. I write children's meditations, and I love to teach children all about how to connect to their hearts and fill their hearts with love and spread the love from their bodies into the world. So I've written a few books on child meditation. I've translated some books about mindfulness. And then I've also written a book for students with stress that actually got me started on my whole writing journey for children that I figured out how many stressed out children and adolescents we see. And I thought mindfulness and meditation would be tools to spread to children so that they could find their inner light and become light workers and healers on their own. And so many families need the children to be the light so the parents can reflect on their own light and keep shining. So I'm on a little mission to spread the love vibe to children and parents, and I'm loving it. And I am self-publishing those books. We've talked a lot about this topic, what's the pros and cons of self-publishing, but for me it's been a way to share my voice in the exact way I want it to, and now it's become a little international, so yeah. It's getting sticky now.
No, it's been really beautiful to see that you're getting like messages from parents around the world who are tapping into that love that you're spreading, and their children are like really responding. It's so beautiful.
Right now we are running a campaign all around the world saying what would happen if we taught our children to say goodnight to their hearts. Mm. How would that change the world? So if every child was taught to just tap into the love and the self-love and turn it up at bedtime, how would they wake up in the morning? How would they look at the world? How would they know about the power of their hearts?
Yeah,
I feel this is important.
It is important. And I love that it's also a reminder to us parents. It's not like, okay, let's just get the baby to bed, go to sleep. It's also a reminder to us to stay connected to that love that's in our heart and to spread that even when things are a little crazy at home.
Yes, definitely. A lot of parents initially hear about the book because it does make children sleep. And in many occasions, much faster than they usually do. So the parents are like, I want that book. I want my child to sleep. But once they see the methodology and they get to know how meditation helps the child unwind and move the focus from his thoughts into his body, or how it works for that particular child, and the parent actually witnessed this, and they get a sense of understanding that it's actually the shift in the energy of the parent that brings all of this on, then we're onto something. So the whole getting to sleep is wonderful because our children will thrive much more when we sleep more, but I actually like the little awakening that's going on even more.
Yes, I love the awakening too. And speaking of the awakening, I love how you started your chapter, The Voice, in this book, Time to Rise. You talk about your own experience with getting in touch with your heart. And it started when you were pregnant with your first child, and you started thinking, okay, how do I be a good parent just like my parents were to me? So it's that, again, being very conscious. But tell me about how you discovered The Voice.
Yeah. So the voice has been with me all my life, and I've been conscious of it somehow and somewhat all through my life. But it wasn't until I got pregnant with my first daughter that I started trying to understand what the voice was telling me, how it was broadcasting, how why it had meant so much in my life. I started asking all these questions because I all of a sudden realized how important having that voice had been to me. And I knew that if I could only understand what it was and where it come from and what the mission of it was, then I would be able to maybe pass it on to my child in my womb. And I've been very lucky with the way I've been brought up. I've been very lucky with the family I've been brought up in and the parents I've chosen to live with and my sister. I've had a very lovely childhood, full of love, full of, they always stood behind me. They always challenged me in good ways and they picked me up when I fell and made me believe I could shoot for the moon. And they've done a really good job raising me. And the voice has been with me all along. That's how I sort of got to understand all of the things they were teaching me. So I thought on that beach, I was living in Croatia and my husband and I had just moved there and I was only a couple of months pregnant. I had been working really hard for the past months until I quit my job to go with my husband abroad and become pregnant and become a mother. And all of a sudden I had all the time in the world. And we had moved to Croatia and we lived in this beautiful bay. The waves rolled to shore and we were just on that beach all the time. The weather was nice. The food was nice. Everything was just chilled and relaxed and wonderful. And I had this baby inside of me and I had all the time in the world to reflect on what kind of mother I wanted to be, what kind of family I wanted to create now that my husband and I were going from lovers into becoming parents. So I had a lot of time to reflect. And that voice just kept popping up.
Well, I think it's so important what you're saying about your background, because it was a very positive upbringing with your family. And you already know my story. I've had voices in my head, but they weren't always positive. So what were the voices that kept coming up as you were thinking about you stepping into this role of mother? Which voices came to you first that you were able to really say, wow, this is powerful?
My mother's voice. And so for some people that would freak them out, right? Hearing that all the time. But for me, it has been so reassuring and made me feel calm and safe and protected. So as I started, just as maybe a 10-year-old or 8-year-old being on my own, I would just close my eyes. If I was in trouble or somebody else was in trouble, or we needed to do something to handle a situation. Even as a Girl Scout, you get challenged and you have to figure out solutions to problems. I would be out in the forest or something like that, or at school. And I could always just close my eyes. And I was just asking my mother, what should I do? Like I was asking silently. I would ask, what should I do? And I could immediately hear her voice. So it was my mother's voice nudging me to go on or telling me to step back or giving me courage to move on, giving me energy when I was down on energy or whatever it was. Her voice was just encouraging me to make wise decisions. And growing even further up, being a teenager and starting living on my own, you can imagine how much help I always had having that voice encouraging me, nudging me, loving me, telling me I could do it, whatever it was telling me was with a positive vibe, teaching me about life, giving me perspective, helping me analyze, helping me making good choices.
And you've described it as almost being a radio channel that you could plug in or turn to different voices. So beside your mom, what other voice was on that radio station that you were able to tune into?
Well, that was my first revelation, was that, okay, my mother had this voice transmitted from some kind of speaker on my shoulder. And I was, as I came to discover that, I'm like, how on earth did she manage to do that? Being pregnant, I was just like, I want to do that. That's been such a help for me. So if I can only figure out how she did it, I could do it with my daughter, right? So as I tuned into it, I started thinking, okay, first of all, I wanted to know how she done it because I was pregnant myself. I wanted to know what did that voice transmit to me? What was the general, what did it keep saying? What was the mission behind it? What had been her intentions with it? What was she trying to teach me? That was the next thing I was trying. And then the third thing was, so how did the way she, how the, did the way my mother was when I was growing up, how did that affect what she had been transmitting to me? Because I knew that my own life would actually affect the way my children were raised. Now, we just made a very conscious decision of moving abroad to raise a family abroad. And that's tricky in many ways. You know how it is living abroad with your child. But I also knew that was what I wanted to do. So knowing that, I also knew that that choice would affect my children. So I became very conscious of how my choices would affect my children. And in that same sense, how my mother's choice had affected me. So that was the first thing, detecting her role in my upbringing in that sense. And then I found out a bit later, as you say, that she had not only succeeded in plugging in one radio station, she had like opened multi-channel networks.
I love it.
Of different voices transmitting to me. So even today, as I close my eyes, I can hear my father, I can hear my sister, and I can even hear my grandparents. Mm. So I can hear multiple. I can hear my aunt, my uncle. I can hear all different kinds of voices.
So it wasn't just your mother that plugged them in, although she may have had that initial impression. Well, one of the things that you did talk about in the book, very briefly though, is how your grandparents' radio station voice changed from how they were when they were here with you on planet Earth to when they moved on into the afterlife. Tell me about that.
Yeah, but I'm still thinking about that. I'm still, because I just lost my last grandmother a few months ago, and I actually felt her ascent. So in many ways, that whole vibration, I felt how her vibration changed as she ascended.
Wow.
In heaven, that night. So I have a lot of thoughts, and they're not mature or well thought through, but I will share with you what I feel what I know now. So when I tune into these different voices, I also tune into different vibrations, and that's actually the language of all ways of communicating. So there is a voice, but there is always a vibration behind. So when I teach parents about becoming conscious parents, it's always this figuring out what they radiate when they parent. And of course, if I tune into my mother, she has a different vibration than what my father has. So my father has a very mindful presence. I'm often asked who has taught me in mindfulness, and my father has taught me my whole life because he's the most mindful man I know. So I tune into his vibration, it's different. So when I tune into my grandparents' vibration, as I knew them when I was a child and even growing up, I've been fortunate to have them in my life quite rather late in my life as well. I'm 40 and I just lost my last grandparent. So I've been able to also tune into them as an adult. And I even got to write my grandmother's memoirs. So I was interviewing her, and I wrote a book about her life. Only for private purpose, but for the family and especially for her. Turned out to be a wonderful tool for her as she got it more and more. How do you say that? Dementia? How do you say?
Dementia. Yeah.
Dementia. So as she got older and older and got more and more dementia, we could read chapters, and she would wake up and say, "Oh, I remember that." So that project is beautiful, but I really got to feel her vibration as I was interviewing her. That's maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And what happened that night when she took off to go to heaven was that her vibration became much lighter. So it was like she was leaving this 93-year-old, tired, old, crippled body. And then I heard this beautiful laughing, giggling, and that's just how she was. She was a giggling lady. She was like 20 years inside that old body, and that was what I heard when she was taking off to go to heaven. Yes.
That's very just giving me chills. Wow.
I just heard that 20-year-old woman laughing her way to the sky, saying, "Oh my goodness, it's so nice to get rid of that old body. that old crippled body doesn't serve me anymore as a soul. It has served its purpose. It's given me a good life. Now I'm ready to go as a soul up to heaven. And that's what happens actually to all of them. So now as I've become a healer and I'm working more with different energies, I can tune into the different voices and vibrations of my grandparents, and they all are lighter than they were on Earth.
Well, that's something I want to pick up when we get back from the break, because this idea that you shared about how the vibration changed from fear-based living into love-based living, I think is so important for us who are still living, because maybe we can tune into some of that wisdom now.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. So when we get back from the break, let's pick it up there.
The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Tune in daily to get fired up with insight and inspiration for purposeful living, conscious relationships, and soulful success. You're watching Liberate Your Authentic Self with me, Dr. Andrea Pennington. Check out the live version of this show, where I answer your questions in real time. Visit facebook.com/Dr. Andrea Pennington. Get your copy of Time to Rise and enjoy free gifts with your purchase. Visit timetorise.me and buy the book anywhere books are sold. Welcome to another edition of Ask the Author. This is the Time to Rise series. My guest today is Gita Vintergraugard. It's the first time I'm saying your full name. And she's an author in Time to Rise. Gita, your chapter called The Voice was so touching on so many levels. I don't know how you fit so much into one chapter. But before we went to the break, you were talking about something that I want to tap into now. And that is, you could tell a difference in the vibration of the voice that you were getting transmitted from your grandparents, from when they were here on Earth to when they transitioned to heaven. And something that I said to you when we were in between sessions here is that I want some of that now. I don't want to wait till I leave the body. So can you talk to me about that?
Yeah, well, as I said before the break, it's still kind of new to me because I'm just beginning to understand these perspectives. And I think that that's part of why I'm participating in this book, because I feel when I write, I also understand myself. But what I can share today, and I can probably share more if we talk about this in 6 months or so. But for now, at least I know that the vibration that I feel from my grandparents who are in heaven, that vibration, it's still the same feeling of them. I can almost smell them. I can touch them. I get the whole, like they were standing in front of me. So it's not just a vibration and energy like that. It's the whole picture, but the vibration is much lighter. So what I feel is that on Earth, we are much more fear-based. we worry, and even my grandparents would worry about me. So I was 15 when I moved abroad the first time with my parents. So my grandmother would worry. When my parents got divorced, I was 20 years old. My mother's mother, so my, what do you say, grandmother on my mother's side, was very worried, and she would ask me questions, also worried about me. So there's been many times where they have worried about me because I lived in 7 different countries. Would I come home for Christmas? Would I be there for this and that? And they would worry. And all of that, in between all of that, they would love me and help me and raise me. And they would do all different kinds of things to help me grow up. But there was always some kind of worry involved that was fear-based, as worry and anxiety often is. And maybe they would tap into, okay, she's going abroad again and to live in the fourth country. Did I dare to do that as a young woman myself? And then that something would come up from their own story. So all of that is gone now. So as they are in heaven, I just feel the essence of their vibration in a light, loving way. So how I can best describe it is like I have all these grandparents living up in heaven, and it feels like a big cheerleading band.
Oh,
just cheering for me, helping me out, coming to me in times of need, telling me to remember to also take care of myself in the midst of taking care of my family. So one example I can give you that I really took to heart was walking. I had been in a TV program in Denmark on national TV, big deal. They had even made me bring my children to the show. And as we were, they did so well, and the interview went really well, and I was so proud of them. And all the way home through the park, I was cheering them on and saying, I'm so proud of you, and you have helped me spread love, and we are on a mission together. And I was saying all of these things, and the children were happy, and everybody was happy, and we were walking. And then all of a sudden, from the blue, blue sky, a feather dropped in front of me, and I could catch it. White feather dropped. And as I closed my hand around it, I heard my grandmother say, but you did well too, Gide. You did well too. I'm proud of you. So I'm taking care of my children, and my grandmother's taking care of me and telling me, you did well. You did well, my girl. She always said something like, my girl. And I could just hear that whole way she was leading me on, saying, you did a good job today.
That is beautiful.
That makes me feel like an 8-year-old being taken care of my grandmother. And I love that feeling. I love to feel that childish feeling.
I love that. It just definitely, especially as you know, as my daughter is looking to go abroad, I love hearing that reminder to kind of check in with my energy. Am I going to be in fear-based living or love-based living?
Oh, yeah.
Because it makes a difference.
Yes. Such a difference. And I think being on earth and nurturing our children and being animals that protect our children, in that sense, it's so natural. But sometimes fear takes over. And knowing the voices of fear inside my mind and knowing the voices of joy and happiness, I know what kind of voices I want to turn up and what voices I want to turn down and how they make me feel. And often some of the voices that scream the loudest are those based on fear. And it might make us think that we should listen to those. And my life has taught me that when I breathe, pause, reflect, feel, listen to my heart, then I often have another solution, and it turns out to be the right one.
Well, there's this other story that you shared in the book about, I think you were riding your bike, you were working really, really hard in this very high-powered agency, and you could feel your whole body kind of screaming at you. So you weren't quite listening to your heart. It was like your body was in revolt, but it also reminded you that you could trust yourself and follow a new path. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, well, that's what I think happens a lot of times in life, is that we get a little off track. And in this case, it's more like a society-based call that I was going to be this hotshot brand manager of a multinational company traveling the world with international marketing and finance. And I had all the right, you know, education, and just got out of Copenhagen Business School, a little cocky and ready to take on the world. And as I did, I just figured out that it wasn't for me. So after only 8 miserable months, as I write in the book, in the advertising agency, I could just feel that it wasn't for me. But I had built the last many years in Copenhagen Business School was all about getting a career, taking your place in society, and all of these things were just schooled, trained to think this way. So being, I was 26, 27 years old at this time, thinking that I should build my curriculum or my CV, or I should have this or that job and my career path would go like that, or I had the ability to do this and that, so I should do this and that. So I was trained in so many ways by society and by all those years of schooling to think in a specific way. And then just having my heart pounding and my tears rolling down my cheeks and thinking I would become the biggest failure in the world if I quit that job that I had gotten as a recent graduate, right? But I just knew. I just knew that I was off track. And I think that for many people, if they are in touch with their heart and with their voices, if they let the right voices guide them, many people would not get so much off track like we see today with so much stress and depression. So one of the big reasons why I wrote this chapter and talk about how I listen to my voices is the big reason is that I would love to contribute that people might not get so lost before they stop. And that's why I share one of the times I felt really lost in life, being on riding my bike through the streets of Copenhagen. I remember it was October and it was raining. October is very gray here in Denmark and very wet. And I was riding my bike home to my husband, and I was just feeling so off track. And I knew I just had to. Yeah, it was one of those crossroads. I didn't know that night that it was a crossroad. I really felt that I had to do something to keep on track.
And how did your husband take that news?
Yeah, well, he knows that I'm reflective and that I follow my heart. That's what he fell in love with, I think. So I came home to him and I said two things. So I said to him, I can't work there anymore. Especially my boss was really, I'm not sure what to say, but he was giving me a hard time, giving me way too much responsibility, way too high budgets, last minute throwing me in front of people to present stuff I wasn't prepared for, and all of these challenges that, so he had known for quite a while that I wasn't happy. So he knew that something was coming, and we had both been traveling a lot, living abroad, but not together. So we'd just gotten married, and we wanted to start thinking about raising a family, and we loved traveling. So I came to home to him, and I said, so this is not working out, and I was crying, and I was all, the voices were screaming all sorts of things. Are you giving up, and you're a failure, and you're not, this is not good for your CV, and what are you doing, and you have a good job, and all of these things. But this other voice just kept saying to me that this was right. I had to quit. And so I said to him, I want to quit. And now I also want to give birth to your child. So very quickly after that, I quit the job the next week. And 3 weeks later, we find out that I'm pregnant. And another happy week later, he has a contract to go to Croatia. So that's what I say, that when we do listen and when we do dare to take those big decisions and when we feel that whole vibration inside of us, we manifest our lives in a totally different ballgame. So things will happen much quicker when we are in line, aligned with what we're here to do.
I love that. I love that you had the courage, and fortunately you had a husband who backed you up and supported you in really just knowing that you weren't just making some hothead decision.
No, I've been fortunate with his support.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been fortunate with lots of support around you. And I think that's also why I love the way that you're bringing it to the world for those of us that maybe didn't have that kind of supportive background. And as you know, that's really my mission here. with Liberate Your Authentic Self, with all the books that I publish, especially Time to Rise, with all of these different voices from around the world who are each sharing, you know, you are each sharing a different perspective on what it takes to live in alignment with your values, to have the courage to stand up for yourself. It's, I just think it's a really wonderful gift that you're bringing to the world, especially since when I met you, you were a little reluctant about stepping out in front of the books, weren't you?
Yeah, it's much easier to hide behind the books, right? Just push the books. You can read it. I don't need to say anything, show my face. No, that takes courage.
It does. And I wonder, so have any of these voices supported you this year? I mean, this has been a big year for you. Your books have already been doing well in Denmark. They've been, as you mentioned, translated into other languages. They're traveling around the world. And then here you step up and decide to really start sharing your presence in the media. You did a workshop in England. Like you're really stepping out. Did you have any voices in your head during this process?
Every day. I have, every time I'm in doubt, I tune in and I listen and I get the courage. I don't know how to live without them. I don't know how to, when you are alone and an entrepreneur like I am, I'm very much alone in the way I work. Of course, I have a lot of people around me, but I'm the only one in the company and I'm calling all the shots and you need a lot of strength to just keep going. Now it's, I think I'm on my 10th year of being an entrepreneur. So if I felt completely alone with that way of living, working, I think I would be lonely, but I have so many voices. It makes me even think that when I'm saying it, it sounds cuckoo. So please, doctor, don't start analyzing me for something funny, but it is actually a big help and it makes me feel, aligned with the universe and knowing that you can tune into the voices of the people around you. Like my father is 2 kilometers that direction. My mother is 3 hours away. My sister too. And my grandparents are just up there. And knowing that you can connect in energy to people that you love, no matter how far you are from each other, has been such a big help for me to understand. And that's what I'm trying to bring on in my books about love and meditation for children. Having traveled so much as I have, I've been separated from the people I love in many ways. And I especially remember some of the times I felt very homesick. The feeling of being maybe in Switzerland and having somebody at home I loved and missed in Denmark, that felt like a longer distance at that time when I didn't know all of these things than today for me to connect to my grandparents in heaven. They're not very far away. So people, energy is just traveling so fast. So once we understand how to connect in energy and vibration and tune into all of these, different tunes and energies, then everything becomes more united and more, for me, holistic. And it makes me feel safe and loved and secure and held. And it's very beautiful for me.
It is very beautiful. When we get back from the break, I'd love it if we can talk about another piece of this story. And that is the time that you noticed that all these voices, all these energies, these frequencies that you're picking up, they move from being in your head to in your heart. So when we get back, let's talk about how each of us can really connect to that inner knowing.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends, with 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
You're listening to Liberate Your Authentic Self with me, Dr. Andrea Pennington. Check me out on Instagram at Dr. Andrea Pennington. And now, back to the show. It can be very comforting to know that the people that we love the most, the people who have nurtured us and guided us, never really leave us. My guest today, Gita Winter-Graugaard, who is the author of The Children's Meditations in My Heart, and she's a contributing author to Time to Rise. Gita, you have really shared a beautiful sort of journey of how these voices in your head, from your parents to your grandparents, even your sister, have really shaped you and supported you over the years. And then you got to a point where the voices were not in your head, they sank into your heart. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, I'm not sure how it happened or when it happened exactly, but what happened when my daughters were born 2.5 years in between. So I had one daughter, I gave birth to one daughter in Croatia, and then we moved on to Canada. So I have a Canadian and a Croatian daughter. And in those years, I had to make a lot of difficult decisions because I was going off the career path and into the motherhood path. And I loved being a mother. It felt so right, but all the voices in my head was going a little crazy with my not building my career and taking so many years off to just go with my husband, and where had all my ambitions gone? So all of those voices were in the beginning, figuring out if I should work in between the kids, should I try to get a job in Canada? I was even offered a job in Canada for a previous Danish employer. All of those things, they were quite demanding voices. And then all of a sudden they grew quiet with my second daughter being born and me figuring out that I wanted to become pregnant again and settling into not working abroad. And everything was quiet for quite some time, except that the love inside of me was growing because I loved being a mother. I knew that I was off track with my career, but I didn't matter because I loved being a mother. And those years turned into 4 years abroad and 4 years of maternity leave. And had you known me when I was in business school, you would never, ever have guessed that I would be on 4 years of maternity leave. But it felt so right. And I think being abroad allowed me to just be in that bubble of becoming a mother. And then that was when I began to hear the voices of my heart and believe that anything would be possible and that I could actually become a writer and all of those things. So it stepped from having like a speaker on my shoulder to actually just tuning into my heart. I started meditating more. I was into personal development and just getting to know the voices of my heart made a big difference.
And now you call those voices intuition, right? I mean, that's really what it's come to be for you, like a sense.
Yes. So what I've finally learned after having tried to decipher the recipe of perfect motherhood and trying to figure out how on earth my mother had managed to place that speaker on my shoulder. And hey, I even went as far as to ask her. I even went to her and said, how on earth did you manage to do that? And my mother has had a wonderful way of raising me, but also rather unconsciously. So she's done a lot of things right, following her intuition, but she hasn't really reflected on many of the things. So she couldn't give you an answer. I'm like, so if she doesn't know how she did it, how on earth am I going to figure out how to do it? And then as I was reflecting more and more about all these things, it slowly, I came to realize that it wasn't my mother's voice. It isn't my father's voice. It is vibration and energy transmitted through my heart and into my intuition. So it feels like it goes like this and then up. So it comes like this.
Wow. So it's coming from... for anyone who's not watching this video, she's using her hands. So you're saying it's coming outside, so from the universe, which could be from heaven, from your grandparents, from wherever, into your heart and then up to your mind to influence your decisions.
Yes, and that's what I call a heart-based living, is that you allow your heart to be the first channel to reach information, because that's what happens, is the heart is full of love. You can actually separate it, like the head is the worry and the fear, like I just talked about living on earth and the universe and the heaven, whatever you call it, where the people who have passed are gone, to live. That's pure love. So that's what I feel, that when I let, I can also channel through my head so I can have a clear vision or something like that. But it's different when I allow it to come run through my heart first. Then I allow it to be a loving vibe that reaches me, my mind, so I can reflect and analyze. That's why I always say to parents, when you're in doubt, just ask the simple question, what would love do right now? Because then you have a different way of channeling. You have a different way of getting into your intuition and listening to it when you ask that question, what would love do right now?
And do you think we can use that everywhere? Or what other tips would you give us as we're learning to trust the voices, the voice of the heart, meaning the intuition? Because as you say, we've been programmed by society and our family. And so those negative voices, the ego, the fear-based living, sometimes they are the loudest and it can be fast for us just to react and give in to those. What would you say for those of us that are learning to check in with the heart and find out what love would do when that fear creeps in?
Yeah. First of all, just knowing this, that when it's fear, it's mind-based, and when it's love, it's more heart-based. That's the first thing to try to understand, what kind of advice am I given right now? So if you're completely new to this and you have no voices inside of you, the first thing I want to say that you were born with the voices or the voice. You were born with your intuition. You were born in light and love. And somehow society took that away from you. Maybe a parent who didn't listen to his or her intuition had shut down her or his voice, a teacher, a caregiver, or simply just by this very, very busy society we live in. There is no time to check in with what am I actually channeling through my heart right now. We need a mind-based, quick, efficient decision, right? Based on all the stuff we learned in business school. So if we follow all of that like slaves of the business school and we don't listen to ourselves, well, that's actually what's happening, because we see so many stressed out people and parents that are following some guidelines that society has put up. So maybe you feel like many of my clients, I also do healing and life coaching, and many of my clients feel lost in life, and often they have lost the voice, right? So the first thing, if you feel like that, I don't have any voices. What's she talking about? I never had any voices inside of me. No, please know that it is there. It's just tucked away or stepped outside of your body for a little while. That's a whole different story how that happens, but trust that it can come back when you train and when you train to listen to your heart. So that's the first thing. And the next thing is understanding this. Where is the advice coming from? If it's a loving advice, it's probably coming from the heart. If it's more fear-based, it could come from your mind. And then ask, who is saying this? Who is actually, what does this remind me of? And then people often say, I can hear my grandmother now, even if it's negative, right? Or this is my uncle speaking, or I actually hear this teacher of mine now. Okay, so this voice comes from this source. And how is that affecting you? So figuring out which voices are in our lives is the next thing to analyze. So who has had success in plugging in a radio station on my shoulder, right? Who's speaking to me? And what is the purpose? And is it fear-based or love-based? In my life, I've been fortunate that most of it is love-based, right? So it's been easier for me to just follow it. But have you been... Oh, there are so many reasons why people have been broadcasted in more negative tunes. And then we should know what it's doing to us and then whether it's serving us any longer. So some of the voices who are negative, who have followed us for many, many years, decades, maybe it's time to say goodbye to some of those voices and send them back to where they came from if they're not serving us anymore. And they might have served us at a time in our lives where we might have had to have our guards up and take care of ourselves in different ways, but they might not serve us any longer to live with fear. So check in on the voices and figuring out who they are and what they're transmitting is very important.
Yeah, I love that. I often say that. Sometimes you got to kick them out, give them an eviction notice, kick them to the curb. Because what I found is that sometimes these voices, if we give them too much space, if we feed them, they grow and they almost develop their own life. And just like you've been talking about, they have their own energy. That energy affects us. It affects our thinking. It affects what we broadcast and transmit to the world. It's like they've really become their own entity. So I feel like sometimes, yeah, it's almost like you need an exorcism. You got to, you know, get rid of those demons and reclaim your power to stay in the heart.
I've done that quite a few times also with help from different healers and people who've helped me. What I find is that once I also connect with these voices or these spirits or these vibrations in love, once I get my head around connecting to them in love, then the whole drama of that vibration changes and it also becomes a little infant. So in a sense,
are you actually saying you connect to the negative voices?
Yeah,
with the spirit of love.
Yes, I can heal the once I get a hold of it. I'm not conscious of this all the time, but there might be somebody who has crossed me or done something I don't like, and then my first
instinct.
Yeah, I would push them away. But if they keep bugging me, so if I can't get rid of them, if I can't get them out of my system, I can reach out to them in love, in a meditation. So there was a publisher, we talked about self-publishing. There was a publisher who really stepped over my, he stepped too close. What do you say?
He crossed the line, stepped over his boundaries. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And I was a new writer and he completely freaked me out and I allowed him to come much too close to me in the ambition of getting published, right? So he was messing me with my system for quite some time, making me think that maybe I wasn't such a good writer, or maybe how would I go on without a publisher? And this method allowed me to go through slimy green energy, something you don't want to get into. And at the end of all of that, blurry strings, black smoke, all of things you would have walked away from 100 years ago. Like, just let me get out of here. The feeling of claustrophobic and not like nausea. And you don't want to get into that space. But I allowed myself to continue because I knew I had to figure out this sort of, I wouldn't call it demon, but this energy that has gotten into me and I couldn't get rid of. So I had to see what was at the end of it. And I found this basket with an infant.
Oh.
And I connected to that infant heart to heart and saw this publisher as an infant and connected to his inner child and healed, saying goodbye. And I'm not going to work with you anymore, but now I see you heart to heart. Mm. Now I can get rid of you. I can heal a little bit on my way out, but that's it. But at least I got to see that you're not a monster or you're not this stupid man that you've become in my whole way of seeing you. Or yeah, I could say many things about it, but I got to see his heart as an infant at the end of that healing. And it made me see him heart to heart and get rid of him. So I think for me, that's a very strong way of healing. And I've written it in the children's meditations in my heart that I encourage children to send love to those they have quarreled with or they have been in fights with at the schoolyard, or they try to heal through love, even those people who really get to us. It's for me, tricky.
Yeah. It's tricky but powerful. But I love that. I love that visual description that you've just given, because that's what we teach, right? Through compassion, if we can see another being at the level of the soul, or as you're saying, at the level of the heart, like imagining them as an infant before they took on all the meanness and whatever ick they have. But at their core, they're still that perfect, beautiful little child. And they deserve our love. So if we break up on that level so that we can do it in love, then, you know, we don't have to even engage in the negativity.
No. And it's once you see that little heart in that basket, once you see that, they become human.
Yeah.
You take away the smoke and the green light and the feeling. And I actually think you are when you're healing that way that I've been taught, you see some of the emotions going on inside his body in this case. You actually get to feel the nausea is his nausea. Mm-hmm. Nausea. You get to feel how he feels being trapped in his energy, how he's been trapped, and it doesn't feel very good. So you also get some kind of understanding of how come he reacts the way he does. Okay, if you're feeling like this every day, I actually begin to feel sorry for you.
Yeah.
And when you can feel sorry for the ones that you don't like, then something happens. And then we connect heart to heart, even with those. Yeah, it's tricky, but it's very healing.
Yeah. Well, Gita, I could sit here and talk all day about all this beautiful energy healing work, but our time has come to an end. I want to once again thank you. Thank you for stepping up and accepting this invitation to be a part of this book. I know that it is already transforming lives. And I'm just excited to see what's coming next from you. I know there's some more books in you, and this is like opening up a whole new channel.
This is the first time I actually write for adults, and I like it. So, yeah, I have more coming in this channel as well.
Awesome.
So thank you for giving me the opportunity, and thank you for talking to me about all these more spiritual things today. I know it can be hard for some to relate to, but I hope you trust that this heart-based living is truly amazing and is for everyone.
It is. Well, thank you. That is all we have time for today with Gita Vintra-Graugaard from Time to Rise. Please be sure to get your copy of the book and visit timetorise.me for extra bonuses and gifts and a virtual meet and greet with the authors so that you can ask them any other questions that you might have. So until next time, my friends, please remember that you truly are a gift to the world. So share your presence with passion. Much love. Bye. How do you pick yourself up when life knocks you down? Perseverance, grit, determination, resilience. These words describe natural human qualities which help us bounce back after any type of setback. Illness, loss, betrayal, bankruptcy, divorce, abuse, and trauma. No one is immune to experiencing the tragedies of life at some point. Learning how to use your potential to rise again is what will keep you going. I'm Dr. Andrea Pennington, creator and publisher of Time to Rise. In Time to Rise, 29 inspiring changemakers share their personal stories of transformation to prove that you can reclaim your life, find your purpose, and reemerge as the powerful creator that you are. It can be tempting to think that the people who succeed in life or who recover after major devastating loss are special or somehow endowed with magical powers. The reality is, within you are the very same powers. You have the potential to live a life of meaning and purpose in alignment with your values. You have the right and the power to reclaim wellness, live with vitality, and enjoy real happiness. Get your copy of Time to Rise and enjoy free gifts with your purchase. May this book help you reconnect to who you really are. May you find peace and hope. May you claim this moment as your time to rise. Visit timetorise.me and buy the book anywhere books are sold.